2 Kings chapter 2, and I'm going to continue a little bit here today for some of the younger people thinking about this man called Elisha. Elisha was the prophet who took over from Elijah, and these are some of the greatest Old Testament prophets that we have spoken of in the Word of God. Elijah, first of all, and then the man who took over from him, Elisha. And we're going to read in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 15. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, "Behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master," that's Elijah, "lest peradventure the Spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley." And he said, "Ye shall not send." Does anyone remember where Elijah had gone? He'd gone to heaven, hadn't he? He'd gone to heaven. But these men thought that they would go and look for him just in case, I don't know, he'd fallen out of the chariot and landed on a mountaintop somewhere. Anyway, Elisha says, "No, don't go." And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, "Send." They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, that's Elisha, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, "Did I not say unto you, go not?" And the men of the city said unto Elisha, "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren." And he said, "Bring me a new cruse," or a jug, a bowl, "and put salt therein," and they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters, and cast the salt in there, and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters, there shall not be from thence any more death or barren land." So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. And he went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city, and mocked him, and said unto him, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head." And he turned back and looked on them, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth 2 she-bears out of the wood, and tare 42 children of them. And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from thence he returned to Samaria. Well, there is quite a catalogue of incidents from the early part of this prophet's life. 3 things that happened at the beginning of Elisha's ministry. The sons of the prophets, they want to go and look for Elijah against Elisha's advice. The bad water in Jericho is miraculously made usable and useful. And then we find this story, this incident of the children being torn by the bears for mocking the prophet of God. I was trying to think back, it's a long time ago, but when I used to go to Sunday school, in the United Kingdom we call Sunday school where the children go. I know that it's more of an adult thing in some churches, but when I was at Sunday school as a child, I used to hear stories about Elisha. But I'm not sure that I ever heard the story of the 42 children that got torn by the bears. And maybe that's with reason. Who wants to tell little children such a story? And yet here it is in the Word of God. And we're told that all Scripture is profitable. And it's profitable for older children and younger children. It's profitable for all the children of God. Elisha was now a man who carried Elijah's mantle. That means that he had his cloak, he had his coat. But it also meant, more importantly, that that cloak was a picture of the fact that the Spirit of God had moved from Elijah and now rested upon Elisha. And he was the old prophet's successor. He had taken over the old prophet's job. However, this new prophet, still quite young, it would appear, because there are many decades still to occur in Elisha's life. So he probably was still quite a young man. And we did talk last week about him being a boy, and as a boy he was a farmer, and then he had followed after Elijah, learned from Elijah, and subsequently took over that role at God's direction. But it's quite possible that because he was still a young man, that his authority had not yet been established. And it seems as if this first story about the sons of the prophets going against the will and the direction of Elisha is designed to show us that they still, though they bowed down and worshipped him, they still had reservations about whether that old age had truly passed and a new beginning was occurring. They hearkened back to the old days. Maybe we can still go and find Elijah. Maybe he's still out there somewhere. Maybe we should go and get him. When it was very clear, and they had been witnesses to it, that Elijah had been taken away by God and Elisha now had his mantle. But there were reservations. And sometimes that teaches us that we have to be ready to move on. We have to be ready to say there's a new beginning, there's a new start, and God is calling us forward. There's always a temptation to look back, perhaps to remember good times, to be thinking fondly of that which was familiar. But there's also a place to step out into that which is unfamiliar and recognize the new day and the new beginning that God has given us. So here's a little incident in the life of Elisha, where it shows us that there was a new chapter opening in Israel. And some of these sons of the prophets, some of these religious men and women perhaps, some of these who were true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, just took a little bit of time to get used to the fact that there was a new kid on the block, and Elisha now carried Elijah's responsibilities. The second thing that we see from this story is that God used Elisha to purify polluted water so that the people could drink. And I think that that's a lovely picture of how the Lord Jesus purifies a sinful heart and makes sinners fit for his service and for purpose. When the Lord converts a sinner, he goes to the source. He goes to the soul. He goes to our hearts. And that's what Elisha did. He took this salt, which speaks of purification, to the spring, to the source of the water, and there he cast it in. And when the Lord changes a person, He doesn't change that person on the outside. He doesn't change the way that person looks, the way that person dresses, the way that person speaks or behaves. He doesn't change that first of all. He changes the inside. And he causes the inside to be made pure. And then that pure spirit, that converted, changed spirit, begins to manifest itself in the way that we act and in the way that we speak and in the things that we do. So this is a lovely picture of the way in which salvation comes to a sinner's heart. And then finally there is this interesting incident of the bears and the children. And I suspect that you grown-ups are more interested in this part of the story than the other two parts, and maybe the children too. But how on earth do we explain such a terrible event? Well, you know, it's only presented to us here in a few verses, and there is a suggestion that there may be more to this story than is recorded here. And I say that for this reason. We are told that the prophet was going up to Bethel. Now, Bethel had become a centre of idolatry. Bethel is spoken of often in the books of the prophets as being a place where Baal was worshipped and a place where the prophets of Baal would congregate. They had altars, they had groves, they had trees on the tops of hills, and they would gather there to worship. So the people that lived around about Bethel would have been interested in maintaining that idolatrous place. And maybe there's something here about the reason why these children came out and endeavoured to thwart and obstruct and mock Elisha as he was going up to Bethel. Also, it's quite possible that these children, although they're called little children, were not infants. For a start, there was a big gang of them. There were presumably well over 40, if 42 of them were torn by the bears. So there was a lot of them. They weren't with their parents. They hadn't been brought out and led out by adults. They were out there themselves, near the woods. They were smart enough to know that this was a prophet of God that was passing by. And they knew enough to be personal about the mockery that they targeted at him. It's even possible that because he was going up to Bethel, they were making some sort of comment about rumours that had already happened about, what, is this the man of God going up to worship at Baal's temple? Or maybe they had heard about Elijah being taken up to heaven, and they were shouting at Elisha, well, you go up too. Let's see if you're a real prophet. You go up too, old baldy. We only have what we're told here. The prophet cursed them. And as a result of that curse, God, not the prophet, God sent two she-bears out of the woods and tore these children. Does tearing mean killing? Possibly it does. Maybe there were 42 corpses at the end of that process. Maybe some of them were just injured and died subsequently. But what it does do is it reminds us that God is not to be trifled with. God is not to be mocked. Neither is his people to be mocked. The Lord will protect his people and he will preserve them. Anyone who endeavours to lay a finger upon one of the Lord's people is endeavouring to lay a finger on the Lord himself. Jesus said, I will be with you always. There's a lesson for us in that too. We don't need to lift a hand in our own defence, because the Lord will be with us. And whatever happens, the Lord will be pleased to undertake for his church, undertake for his people. Throughout the history of this world, throughout the history of the church, there have been many people have endeavoured to stamp it out, to inflict hardship and trial upon the people of God. And here we are, because the Lord has preserved us. So let us be careful. No one will hinder or frustrate the work of God. They might try, but they will not succeed. And the work of God's salvation is a great work which is going on in this world and will be successful. The Lord says through the prophet Isaiah, "Since thou wast precious in my sight, you and you and you, since you were precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life." Men set themselves against the people of God at their peril. Romans chapter 12 verse 19 says this, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord."